It is 7:39 on this Tuesday edition of Palm Outta Morning. 64 degrees right here on WRHI FM 100.1, your home for news, talk, and sports. I'm Lucas McFadden.
And I'm Patty Mercer. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday edition of Palmetto Mornings right here on WRHI. And also, you can watch us on Corporium Channel 103 or go Facebook Live. We're there Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. until 9 a.m.
It is Tuesday. It's time for us to check in with our various school districts. Up this week, we've got the Fort Mill School District. Joe Burke is the Chief Communications Officer. And good morning to you, Joe.
Good morning. Glad to be in.
We were just joking. Boy, you guys are, it's pretty slow over there in the Fort Mill School District.
Yes. It's been a totally non-eventful start to the school year.
Exactly.
And we say that tongue-in-cheek.
Very much so. All right, well, we'll get to that in a quick second. But tonight, the York County Council, we know, will have a special called meeting, and they're going to talk about the Fort Mill impact fees. What more can you tell us?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of information on it. This is an executive session meeting that they're having, so it's not a public session meeting. We haven't really received any information on exactly what they're discussing. But just so people know how it works, the county is the collecting agency for the impact fee. So at the time of issuing of the building permit is when that impact fee is collected, and they do hold that money in an account there. And, of course, you know, this is a little bit unique situation because, number one, we're the first school district to put this impact fee in, and we had to go through the court case, which delayed a lot of the processing and putting things together for when and how we would use this money. So, I'm sure that they're in the process of talking about how we're going to do dispersing and get these monies put out. But obviously, we'll continue to work with the county on this topic until we get a standard process down and ready to go.
Boy, it has been one step at a time.
Sure. Yep.
Wow.
And that's how it works the first time you go through something like this. I mean, we are setting a precedent on this and setting what will probably become the standard for many school districts going forward.
Hold back building, that's for sure.
No. Well, you're making life easier for everyone else. And during this time, the money was collected, but you guys did not. The Fort Mill School District did not touch it.
We didn't access it at the time. We chose not to do that because of the lawsuit. While we felt very confident that it was going to turn out the way that it did turn out, we didn't want to take a chance of risking, obviously, public funds if things were to go differently and the district would have to then come up with any monies that were spent. But fortunately, everything went the way we expected it to go, and now it's just a matter of these final steps to get this process nailed down and how it's going to move forward.
All right. We're speaking with Joe Burke, who's the Chief Communications Officer with the Fort Mill School District. We did joke earlier, but it has been, a COVID start to the school year, unlike what we saw last year. Can you kind of bring us up to date where we are? We know we've already had one middle school to go virtual. It should be back online.
We actually had two.
Okay,
we had to send Forest Creek Middle School, our newest middle school, out virtual first, and then Pleasant Knoll Middle School did follow them to transition to virtual for the 14-day period. Forest Creek Middle School did come back last Thursday, so those students are back in. We did see a drop in the cases also, which is exactly what we were hoping for. Pleasant Knoll Middle School is finishing out their virtual transition period, and they'll return, I believe, on Friday. So they'll be coming back in. And again, I think we've seen some drop in cases for the point where they're at in this, and we hope that continues. And overall, across the district, we've started to see some drops in cases. So that's been a very positive thing. We're very happy for that. Of course, with COVID, everything changes all the time. We got new guidance from DHEC. I think we received a new document three times in the last week where they have either changed or made additions. So we did announce yesterday that we're bringing our contact tracing and quarantine and isolation protocols in line with the new DHEC guidance. We sent that out to all of our parents yesterday. And, of course, we're continuing with our mitigation strategies that we put in place. And we got some new things that are coming in, too. So,
wow. Mm. So our parents, have you seen more than ever, I guess, the year where it was virtual and so much depended on communicating from a digital perspective? Have you seen an uptick of parents now embracing the website, the places to go to get information?
I think at this point we've continued where we were at before, where we're trying to get as much information out directly to them as we can. Obviously, everything gets posted on our website, so anytime somebody wants to go see something, if they miss something that comes in through email or call, that's where they can go to pick it up. But yeah, it's still a challenge to make sure that parents and staff have the most up to date information, and we're trying to keep up with it, especially when that information changes on a regular basis.
That's right. So, I mean, you used to be able to be proactive or reactive.
Yeah.
If you're reactive, well, you just depend on your neighbors, what they're doing, and then you try to finally figured out.
And we're trying to figure out the best options on notifying people. Ever since COVID started, we've stepped up now where we don't just send an email with the information in it because it's too much to put in a call or too much to put it in a text message. But what we will do is we'll send a call and a text message that says, hey, check your email.
That's good.
You've got this stuff. So that people know it's there and it doesn't get lost in our inboxes. Everybody knows. I'm sure most everybody's inboxes like mine. It piles up pretty fast, so things can get buried quickly.
Yeah.
So we're trying to find the best ways we can to notify everybody anytime something changes.
And that's really our protocol, too, for communication. Now, if I leave a voicemail, I will also send an email. Hey,
yes.
Check your voicemail, or sorry if I'm being redundant, just in case.
Joe, what is the protocol right now in the Fort Mill School District if you have a close contact with someone? Now, we have seen that has been a little bit of confusion from district to district, depending on where you live.
Well, we did make changes yesterday. There are some changes in how we identify close contacts based on DHEC guidelines. It's now not just dependent upon distance and time. It's also dependent on masked or unmasked, and we have the vaccinated, unvaccinated stuff in there. So it is kind of complicated. The stuff that we put out yesterday actually has some illustrated drawings to try to help show that, like if this case, then this. So once those are settled and we determine who's masked, who's unmasked, who's vaccinated, who's unvaccinated, what their distance from the person was, how long they were together, the quarantine protocol itself is pretty much standardized. So students would go into quarantine for the time frame. There is an option if you have a negative test that's taken so many days after your exposure that you can come back early on that. And again, the isolation process, if you're positive, obviously you're not coming back till you have your symptoms go away, but you have a specific time frame there too. And all that is detailed on the website. If you didn't see the email last night, I'd love to be able to rattle it all off to you, but there's so many different instances that you have to, make sure you check each box to get to the final endpoint. I definitely recommend everybody goes and looks at that guidance. And I will at this point, I definitely want to say thank you to our school-led COVID teams, which are led by the nurses and the district and the school administration, as well as our district COVID teams. We have a COVID coordinator, and she also has a person from my office that's assisting her in all the data processing. And guys, the data that goes into this stuff is a massive animal alone to deal with, not to mention having to physically go contact trace in a classroom, notify parents, put together letters to get everything sent out. And all of this process is being done by people who have other jobs that they do in the district as well. So,
that's what blows my mind. Yeah. So when you say a COVID coordinator, is that a new position or is
no,
that
that's
just
actually,
a shared?
We put that position in place at the beginning of all of this with the pandemic because we saw that this was going to be a long process and that's something that's going to take a lot of dedication to do. So we did put that position in place and we had an employee at the time who transitioned into it and she's done a fabulous job there. We have an administrative assistant who works in my office that has just stepped up and helped with that. And all of our staff across the district has stepped up. We're even adding now some additional assistant staff at the district office level that's going to assist with that contact tracing because that is something that has really burdened our schools and especially our school nurses in dealing with. So we're kind of working on the best we can to revamp those processes and make it easier for all of our schools.
Joe Burke, again, is the Chief Communication Officer with the Fort Mill School District. I know we're pushing up against a break, but we do have a Teacher of the Year as well as a staff member of the Year as well, and a new principal at one of the middle schools.
Yes. So we have some very fun and exciting news that I always love to share. Congratulations to Susan McClellan, who's the nurse at Springfield. I'm sorry, not at Springfield, at Riverview Elementary School. She is the Support Staff Employee of the Year. And then congratulations also to Laura Merck, who is a math teacher at Springfield Middle School. She is our Teacher of the Year, and of course, she will move on to represent the district in the State Teacher of the Year competition that comes up later on.
Oh, so, congratulations!
Very, very proud of them, and also too, congratulations to Dr. Emily McQuay, who was announced as the new principal at Fort Mill Middle School. She's replacing Maurice Murphy, who's taken a position in another school district, and she has a great pedigree. She comes from a high school background, as well as she was also the director of the Fort Mill Virtual Academy. So she's already off and running over there, and everything seems to be going pretty quickly in her transition.
Fantastic. Always exciting things happening in the Fort Mill School District, like all of our school districts. You certainly can follow them online, social media. And if you live in the Fort Mill School District and you've got questions, reach out to your school board member. They certainly can help you maybe get those answers faster if you need something immediately. Joe Burke, as always, sir, thank you so much for your time and thanks for the update.
Appreciate it.